I had so many breakthroughs from today's conversation. I sit down with HR Director Terry Figueroa, and what she says throughout this podcast, I had so many aha moments. There's a key piece today that I really want you to lean into is when Terry talks about kindness versus being nice. It was such a big takeaway moment for me. Terry also is so passionate about well-being, mindset, and how showing up as the best version of you every single day, setting those intentions, can not only make you feel good, but impact the whole of your team. She also talks about why really understanding who you are versus chasing external success and validation is key to a happy, fulfilling life. So strap in for today's episode. I really hope that you enjoy, and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. And I can't wait to hear from you. Enjoy. Terry, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast today. I am honored to have you on. As I said before we hit record, your doses of positivity on my LinkedIn feed really do make me smile. And I think the world needs this now more than ever. So can you take me back to your early career journeys and potentially why you also found wellness, mindset, and all the mindfulness content that you speak about and how that really changed your life and your career? So Terry, welcome to the podcast. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Georgie. It's great to be here. And thank you for your kind comments about my LinkedIn posts. It's something that I started not too long ago, and I'm really trying to make it a regular practice for myself. It really helps me set the intention for my day. And I'm really glad that my content's reaching people and resonating. So I'm getting some great feedback from it. So thank you so much. In terms of my journey, I'm in HR, people and culture. So I've been in that industry for over 15 years in quite a few industries, worked at a beautiful winery, the symphony orchestra, not-for-profits, local government, banking, professional services, you name it. I've probably been working in that industry. So I've had the chance to work with so many people of different backgrounds. And I guess what I can see that what I was seeing in every industry was really that critical piece of workplace well-being. So for me, I was jumping around a lot. I was moving from industry to job, and I was thinking something was missing. What am I searching for? Why am I not happy in this role? You know, is it my boss? Is it my colleagues? Is it the work I'm doing? I couldn't put my finger on it. So instead of trying to figure that out, I just applied for the next job and moved on again. And then my light bulb moment was doing the positive psychology and well-being diploma. And that's where I really learned that what I was doing was chasing happiness externally. I was looking here, there, and everywhere and forgot to look inside, forgot to just slow down and look within myself. So learning some of those practices has been absolutely life-changing. And now, you know, I know that I'm in control, and that's what's really empowering to then think, if I'm not happy right now, ask myself why. What is it that I need to tweak or change for myself to find that happiness? Yeah, it's been life-changing. So I'm still in the corporate space, but I've been so passionate about health and well-being that I've founded my own company, Healthy Mindset, as well. So it's really exciting. It's in its infancy, but I'm so passionate and excited about it. And the combination of coming from that people and culture background, where you're obviously working with people day in, day out, and a lot of things are going on in people's lives, it's great to be able to incorporate some of the things that I've learned to actually give that advice to whoever I'm speaking to. You know, it's not, don't look outside, ask yourself, come back inside, and then let's talk. So yeah, I'm in a really happy place right now. So thanks, Georgie.
That's so good to hear. And I'm smiling because I think a lot of people would be able to relate to what you just said then, this whole idea of chasing success and happiness and external validation and not looking within. And I know that I did this for quite a long time, and I was constantly chasing, not necessarily like new jobs, but I was in a commission-led role at the time in sales, and I was chasing the next payslip. And then that I really wore that like a badge of honor, and just got completely like lost myself almost in chasing that sort of happiness. I'll be happy when I hit this goal, when I earn this payslip, when I can achieve this or go on this holiday or whatever it was. It was very externally focused. And what I noticed was the correlation between that and quite severe mental health. So I had really bad anxiety because I had put so much pressure on myself, and I was like constantly not good enough. And this just constant like need for more actually made me feel extremely unhappy. And I think probably wasn't until COVID really hit that I took a sort of step back. And I think a lot of people can relate to this as well, and ask myself some really big questions. But what you said as well, you took the time to just sit with yourself. So people listening to this right now that are maybe stuck on the hamster wheel, they're chasing the new job, the new promotion, expecting to feel something when they get there. And maybe they're not, they feel empty, they don't feel fulfilled, they don't feel joy. Where can people start? Where did you start your journey and started to really understand, I'm not happy, what am I going to do about it? What was the first step you took?
I think what I did was just slow life down. I was a go, go, go person. I was multitasking to the max. Anything I could do at the same time as doing something else, I thought that was a good thing. Even on my day off from work, I would write lists of things to do. And I do make sure I do dip, 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 all of these things. And I don't know if I was just, I don't know, somewhat afraid of just being with myself and with my thoughts and with my voice, and that person's never going to leave you. So you want to welcome them. You want to have, you know, time for them and listen to what they have to say, because it was in those quiet moments where I was actually, you know, the penny would drop, or I'd think, aha, that's what I should be doing. So I think that's my one tip. I would just say to just slow life down. Don't worry too much about the future in terms of overthinking. And that's a big one for a lot of people. And there's a term, monkey brain, where it's just bouncing around all the time. And by, I think, incorporating some mindfulness, that's where you can sit in the present. And it's really, really enjoying that pause, whether it's in conversations at work or just mindfully doing everything. So you're driving along and you're just noticing things more. You're noticing your surroundings like you're a tourist in your own city. It's really, you can get a different lens on things where you do just try and slow it down and not rush through life. What it's not a race. You want to enjoy it.
You absolutely do. And I know that I have also played the victim of that as well. Like life was just so fast and I didn't stop to smell the roses. I didn't celebrate anything. I could have hit a milestone and I'd be like, oh, you know, I won't focus on that. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. And then you wake up one day and you go, oh, like I haven't actually stopped to appreciate how much growth I've gone on and where I am in my life. And but we all do it. And even now with the best intentions, I still find myself sometimes multitasking, taking on far too much. And I have to remind myself to slow down, because that's when I make a lot of mistakes. That's when things really, the effort I'm putting in, I'm not getting what I want back because it's too frantic. I'm not doing anything well. I'm spreading myself too thin. But I think that there's a lot of people out there, especially in the corporate world, that I hear this from all the time. Georgie, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling burnt out. I'm maximized. I'm working 6-7 days a week just to try and do my job. Like, so for those people that would sit and listen to this now and go, well, I can't slow down. My job is so demanding. Like, would you have any advice for those types of people? Like, should they learn to delegate? Should they learn to sort of, you know, speak up a bit more? Like, advice for those people that are just find themselves in this frantic hamster wheel of doing more, busy, busy, busy.
Yeah. Maybe it is about having that question for yourself. Now, am I trying to create busyness to avoid the silence? Maybe it's that. And that can be a little bit confronting because you just want to fill the day and be busy. And that's the number one response when you ask people in the office, how are you going? Oh, I'm so busy, so busy. You know, like it is a badge of honor that you're so busy that you have to eat lunch at your desk and you can't possibly move away. So if you think you don't have time, I think you probably do if you really ask yourself. And even if you started with, say, 2-3 minutes, even that moment, find it maybe first thing in the morning before the hustle and bustle of the day starts to unfold. But just, you know, 3 minutes of just sitting there and the breath work, that's probably number one. Just sit there with your eyes closed and just allow that nice deep breathing. I think that would be, I mean, everyone has time for that. And you make time for what you want, don't you really? So you can find the 3 minutes, start your day with a bit of that calm clarity and take it from there and maybe ask yourself, why am I filling my day with so many things? Is it necessary? Is it, you know, and then rather than delegate, which is also, it is a good thing to do to delegate, but maybe you could just say no in the first place. It might be something that you didn't need to even take on. So it's sort of setting some boundaries as well. And that's, comes back to self-love, doesn't it? Like number one really is without, and there's a way to be, you know, healthily selfish and be able to put yourself first and show yourself that self-love. I think that's where it starts. Ask yourself, do I really want to be doing this? And if it's a no, if you're just saying yes to make the other person happy, you know, question that maybe a little bit.
I'm so glad that you've just touched upon this, because this is something, especially I think women particularly, really struggle with. And I have a lot of amazing friends that will put everyone else, their children, their parents, their colleagues, their boss, everything above them. And they're at the bottom of, you know, the importance, the to-do list, right? And they just don't have any time for themselves. They feel exhausted all the time. They lack focus. They lack clarity. And it's like when I say, look, I think honestly, you just need to just take some time for you. I don't have any time for me. And I think you're so right. It comes down to this lack of maybe self-worth. Maybe they don't feel like they deserve that. Maybe they've learned a program from their mums or their childhood It's selfish to prioritize yourself and your well-being. And I say the opposite. I say, when you take care of you, your cup is full and then it's overflowing for others. But as women, we almost need that permission to take that 10 minutes for ourselves, to go for that walk, to go and do that Pilates class, to take some mindful meditation. So how have you gone about developing your self-worth and your self-love, Terry? Because you clearly do prioritize yourself, as you should. And what advice did you have for those out there that are really struggling to do this and find and carve time out for them in the week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took a lot of time. I'm a mum of three. And yeah, you're right. Mums particularly do put their kids first and you're at the bottom of the list. And you're right. It's you know, exhausted by the time you get to the point of, okay, I've got 5 minutes for me now. Great. So flipping that script a little bit and going, hang on a minute, let's do something that's going to fill me up, that's going to light me up for the day and make me happy. And it flows on because you then have a different sort of energy going about you. You've got that to give. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Filling your cup and then you've got more to give. So I think for me, it was a little bit of a guilt. You know, what are people going to think of me? If I do that instead of that, you know, even if it's, you know, I'll tell you something that I did this Mother's Day and I put it out on Facebook just to say, because I was actually so proud of myself because I've got to this point now where for Mother's Day, we celebrated a day early. We did our thing. And then the next day I got on a flight and I went to Queensland and spent the weekend by myself, walking on the beach, just being in a bit of a namaste vibe moment and loved it. And my kids were happy for me. My husband was happy for me. And yeah, I just came back invigorated and I put it on Facebook and the amount of support that I got, even putting it on Facebook, I was like, oh my God, are people going to shoot me down? But no, the love was there, the support was there, and that's a big thing, you know, owning what you're choosing to do. If you believe in it, if you think it's okay, why is it not okay? And why would you care if someone looks down their nose at you and goes, that's not what, you just think that's not what you would do, that's fine. This is my life and this is what I want to do. So, you know, it's not about, you know, getting the elbows out and making sure you're at the front and you're doing everything all the time for you, but it is about making sure you're prioritizing yourself at some point every day, I think.
I absolutely love that. And I absolutely love the fact that you took a solo trip to Queensland. That is so good. And I'm so glad you posted about it, because we need that visibility, Terry. I think there's not enough of that going around. You know, Mother's Day is like out with the family, and that's great. You do that. But, you know, you were like, now we're going to celebrate the day before and then I'm going away. And that's how I want to celebrate my Mother's Day, is just like, you know, tapping into me, spending some time with me. And I'm so in support of that. And I'm so pleased that you did post it, because then it kind of gives other mums and women permission to do that for themselves, you know. And sometimes we do need to see it in others, that model it and be like, oh, well, look at Terry. She's gone away. She's come back happy. I want to go into this as well. So this is really, really interesting. I can imagine when you came back from that trip, you felt really positive and, you know, energized from that. So again, that has a knock-on effect. So let's talk about this, like the power of your mindset and what part that plays in your work, in your family life, in your relationships. Like, how do you work on your mindset every single day? Because I said this to my husband the other day. I said, as we go into this new world and there is so much change and there's just constant things coming at us every single day, it is now our mindset and how we approach things that is the number one skill of, I believe, of our future and where we want to get to. So how do you protect your mindset, and advice for those that really want to be a bit more positive and feel a bit more upbeat, and instead of being like, you know, feeling a bit down and negative, if that's sort of how they're feeling right now?
Yeah. Oh, so important. And it starts with maybe eliminating some things from your life that do bring you down. Whether it be your feed, your social feeds, what you're looking at, what you're listening to, who you're allowing into your life. It's consumption. And you can think of it as in, what food are you consuming? What energies are you consuming? What relationships? It's inflows from that. So it's really maybe do a little bit of an audit on your life and just have a little look. Who am I spending time with? Who lights me up and fills my cup and helps me and supports me, and have more of that in your life. So that's definitely one thing that I would say to start with. And it's with the mind, it's not a fixed thing. You can change at any time. You can change the thoughts that you're having. So if you're not feeling good about something, rewind and think, what are you thinking about it? So it's about thinking about what you're thinking, you know, what meaning are you putting to things? And then deciding for yourself, is it true? Is it just something, a belief that I've had? Can you question yourself a little bit more and question what you're hearing and give yourself that chance to change your point of view, change how you're seeing that particular thing that might be just grinding you up the wrong way? So it's up to you as well in that way. I think positivity is contagious. You know, I like to go about my day smiling at strangers and you know, nodding at people as I go by. My parents are both Scottish, but my dad's a very broad accent, and my dad, I think I got it from him, because we just walks along and he's always like, aye, aye, you're doing a little nod of the head. And, you know, I'm taking that on. And even in the workplace, I love interacting and connecting with people. Doesn't mean you have to stop and have a 10-minute conversation with everyone, but it's acknowledging. And then when you are having a conversation, really listening, not trying to do 10 million things at the same time and obviously looking distracted at, well, who else can I be talking to and what else should I be doing? And it comes back again to that mindfulness and that conscious living of just slow life down again. You know, I'm here with you right now and you know, really listening and engaging in what you're spending your time doing.
I absolutely love that. And I love the life audit that you just said, because that's actually one of the things I did as well. I unfollowed a lot of people on my social media. I put in really big boundaries with it as well, because There is a saying, it's so true, comparison is the thief of joy. And now we're not just comparing ourselves to the Joneses next door, now we're comparing ourselves to the rest of the world. And yes, Instagram, social media, it is a showreel. No one's posting pictures of themselves having a bad day or breakdown or, you know, an argument with their spouse. You know, it's always, oh, look at me on the holiday again. And it's not real life. It's not reality. But of course you log on and you go, oh, you know, you're sat in your living room and you just had a really terrible day at work and you log on to Instagram or TikTok or whatever, Facebook, and you just feel like, oh, everyone else is doing better than me, everyone else is happier than me, and you just start to feel like crap, basically.
Yeah, and it really
then impacts your mindset. And that was one of the biggest things for me that I stopped doing. I stopped doom scrolling and looking at everyone and what they were doing and started focusing on my life. And I bet you if people listen to this right now, if you add up the amount of time that you spend opening up an app on social media and you invested that 20 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, how long it is, into yourself, into journaling, into meditating, into breathing, your life would change dramatically, dramatically.
Oh,
would you agree with that, Terry?
Oh, 100%. And that goes back to what we were talking about at the start for people that were saying they're too busy to do that, because then they will tell you about the latest Netflix show that they've been watching. Oh, so you've got time for Netflix. There is time then. It is all about that audit. Yeah. And then the comparison's a huge one. And that sort of flows from judgment as well. You know, judging, we are judgy people, you know, judging this, judging that. And it's hard not to judge, but what you can do is just let the thought come and go and don't give it energy, don't give it any more thought. And as soon as that judgment piece lessens, you've got more time to just be. You know, you're not, because that's the mind talking when it's really judging. Oh, what are they doing over there? Oh, they looked at me a funny way. And then you get paranoid and all these things come up. So it's just, yeah, less judgment, more compassion. Yeah, less comparison. Yeah, that's the way I'm choosing to live my life. And it is a conscious choice because it's not easy. I think judgment just comes. It's a natural flow of that monkey brain again. Mm-hmm. And so it is about, yeah, consciously thinking, what am I thinking right now? Is it serving me?
I completely agree. And also you said something really important there, is that this is not the easy way.
Yes.
The easy way is logging onto social media. The easy way is sitting down with a glass of wine and putting on a Netflix show. That's easy. The hard option, the option actually that we should all take the path of is the growth, is the investment in ourselves, is really thinking, maybe instead of watching Netflix, maybe reading a book or listening to a good podcast or something that's going to help us grow, something that's going to help us understand why we are the way we are, why we do things, understand the mind, understand psychology, understand gratitude, meditation, like that. That's, if you understood those principles and you started to grow in that way, I honestly believe you would start to feel happier because you'd be more aware of your thoughts and you can challenge them then and realize that thoughts weren't facts and God, you're focusing on all the wrong things. But it isn't easy. It's a journey. It's not a destination and it's an ongoing process. And it's something that I invest a lot of time to every single day, which I'm sure you do as well. Because if I don't, if I haven't meditated all week or if I haven't journaled all week for whatever reason, I start to feel a bit like, ooh, I'm feeling a bit maybe judgmental or maybe a bit anxious or maybe I'm a bit worried about something that I've got no control of. And it's so easy to fall back into those old habits of thought. And that's why it's got to be a conscious effort and practice every day. But it becomes enjoyable. You want to do it. Like that's the other thing as well. It's like, yes, it's kind of hard in the beginning, but when you start to make it a habit and you start to feel good and more positive and more joy and you start to notice things in your life to be grateful for, it becomes almost effortless. So that's what I also want to say as well, is stick with it, because then the joy and the positivity comes easier to you if you keep doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've hit the nail on the head. It's not easy. You want to go into it just not thinking that it's going to be a quick fix and you're going to go from feeling not happy to happy just because, you know, that's what you've decided. But that's the start. Decide that you want to be happy and then plan your day around that. fuel your things, your day with good. Actually look for the good in the day. It's everywhere. You can look around and appreciate the smallest things, the small things through the big things. There's always something that you can be grateful for and happy about. And even the things that you could see one day as a setback. Can you reframe it? Is it an opportunity for growth? Is it an obstacle that's just there for a challenge for you to jump over and beat that? So it's you can incorporate those setbacks and challenges as well in your day and still find something good in it. It's not about walking through life, I think, with this smile on your face thinking, I'm happy. It's finding genuine happiness by knowing that you can. I think there's a saying around, and this too shall pass. Mm. I love that when I'm having a bad day or just something, and it's not even a bad day, I should reframe that. It's a bad moment. Mm. You know, you have that moment and then you can move on. You don't have to write off the whole day as now it's going to be a bad day because of, whatever's happened. Mm. So just this too shall pass and know that it may last a day or two, but it will pass and keep on going because the next day the sun comes out, you sort of, the analogy of the weather, don't you? You know, it's not going to rain and be stormy forever. The sun will come out. You've just got to have that resilience to keep pushing through.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. Absolutely. And resilience is such a key trait, which I'm getting asked for a lot when I'm sort of hiring for people. Adaptability, resilience, these are definitely skills that are going to be in the future. But I heard a really interesting quote the other day. It's like, is my business or career growing or am I growing? And I think that was so, I heard and I thought, oh, that's really powerful. So it's like, you know, sometimes when your business or your career is doing really well, maybe you're not growing because there's maybe not as much struggle or you're not learning as much, but you know, things are starting to sort of go like that, like go upwards. But then sometimes when things feel like they're stagnating, that's when you need to grow. So it's like either you're growing or your career and business are growing. They don't often come as a pair. And I think sometimes, you know, we put in the growth in ourselves, which then elevates our career, our business. And then we go back to, okay, now I've got to learn again. Now I've got to grow again. So I've got to grow because otherwise my career, my business is going to stagnate. And it's that constant like growth opportunity that we've got to go on. So it's almost like a ladder. You grow, you learn, you grow. You're like, it's constant, right, isn't it? So
yes,
I love
and being
this.
Okay with being bad to start with.
Correct.
Have the guts to give something and try it, knowing that you're probably going to suck at it to start with, you know. But you're backing yourself, and that's where the self-confidence comes in, because you think, hey, yeah, what if I fail? That's fine. I'll fail. How many times have all these inventors and everyone who's come to do amazing things for humanity failed to begin with? So you've got to be okay with being bad to start with, and then just keep pushing on. You trust yourself, your confidence grows, you try again. And I think what you were saying as well is about that comfort zone, you know, when you're just on a bit of a flat line and going, yeah, everything's cruising along, everything's just good. But you can push, you can do that something else to stretch yourself out of that comfort zone, and who knows where it will go.
Absolutely. And you know what's really interesting is when I've been in that sort of comfort zone, I know I've got to push myself out of it, because otherwise I'll end up going in the wrong direction. So I'm almost just sort of looking for ways that I can just, right, okay, what I need to sort of do something now that's going to just push me today or push me this week or push me this month. Okay, maybe I need to, you know, do a speaking engagement, or maybe I need to sort of reach out to that person and, you know, just sort of push myself to do something a bit sort of bigger and a bit more scary. But like, I want to come back to sort of like more of like a work setting now, because you said something at the start as well about how you go into the office and how you show up, setting these daily intentions. I think we don't realize the impact that our energy and our mood and our vibe, if you like, can have on others, and how it can really dictate other people's mood. And then it has a knock-on effect. And then that actually then defines a culture. And I think if every single person in a business took responsibility for how they showed up every single day, the organization, the culture, the business itself would be in a far better state. Because I've worked in an office where if a couple of people are off, it just suddenly just brings down the whole office. Or if a few people are up, it's like everyone's like, woo. It really has got this impact to it. So for those listening to this right now that work in like a, maybe they're a team leader, maybe they work in a big team, what could individuals do to really show up as their best selves and bring that good energy into work as often as they possibly can?
Yeah, that would be a dream, wouldn't it? For all the companies to create this culture where it feels safe. And I think that's a big thing. A lot of companies, they're spending money in health and well-being, which is great. But sometimes it's these one-off initiatives, or it's the pizza nights, or, you know, playing table tennis, or what, those fun things, which are great. But I think it can be more than that. It's about creating that space where, as a leader, it's okay if anyone in your team disagrees with you. That's actually healthy and good to have a bit of a discussion. It's then creating a space where people can come with their ideas and opinions and then have a good discussion about it. That's where good things come. Innovation will come from differing views. So creating that space, I think that starts with a bit of kindness. So just how you are showing up and intentionally, how are you presenting yourself? What's the tone of your voice? What is the look on your face? Have you said hello to the person that you just walked past and actually really care to hear the answer when you say, how was your weekend? So it's those connections, making them a little bit more genuine and stopping to actually care for the individual. And kindness is a big thing. That's, you know, the random acts of kindness, I think that's a beautiful concept, and the ripple effect goes on and on and on. You never know, you know, that person that tells their whole family what happened to them that day, they get another little boost of dopamine. They then want to go and help someone else. It's such a nice ripple. And it can be as simple as taking someone's dirty cup to the kitchen if you're going there anyway, or just the simple things. There's always opportunities for kindness in the office. And there is a difference, though, between being kind and being nice. And that's maybe sometimes where people, you know, feel like they have to be nice, but the kindness is not there. And what I'm probably meaning is from a leader's perspective, being nice is not wanting to give them that bit of feedback on that piece of work that they did because you're going to hurt their feelings, rather than being kind to present in a way that's obviously respectful, but where they can have a growth opportunity and it's a win-win. They then learn something from it. You've done it in a way where you're wanting the best for them. And then off they go. If you're just being nice and going, yeah, that's a good idea, and going, nah, scrap that, that's going in the bin. No one wins when you come at it from that angle.
Okay, I've actually never heard somebody say what you just said, but it's so powerful, because I will put my hand up and say, Terry, that I have fallen into that nice category versus probably being kind. And so they use the analogy cruel to be kind, right? And it's not about being cruel. But I confused in my early days of leadership, and I'm still on that journey now, when I was employing people into CH Solutions, I didn't want to upset anybody. I didn't want to, I wanted to be, again, nice. And I confuse kindness with being nice. So for an example, if one of my teammates, you know, did something, you know, maybe they delivered a shortlist or something for an organization, I didn't think it was good enough. Instead of me giving candid feedback and saying, look, this sort of profile is fantastic, this is why. Now, this is, but still, I think we could do better. And this is why. And I think we need to look for this skill set, and blah, blah, blah. And let's actually get on another briefing call to really understand the requirements again and give them that sort of feedback and coach and help and mentor them to be better. Instead, I just thought, oh, I don't want to upset their feelings. So I'm not going to send that shortlist. I'll do it myself. And I did so that true. To start with. And it cost me so greatly. And it ended up, me then, when I had to then do something that was, I had to sort of step in, I'd then sort of gone, then all of a sudden it came out of nowhere for them. They're like, oh, well, I thought I was doing a good job because, you know, this is new to me. And I stunted their growth And I just wasn't being kind. I was just, because I was trying to be too nice. And yes. I think a lot of leaders that might, especially new to leadership, might have just struck a chord with them, what you just said. So how, as leaders or anyone that's in a management position or looking up, mentoring anybody, how can we do this better? Because I feel like so many people struggle with this. Like, they want to be nice, but it's not about being nice. It's about being that whole thing of cool to be kind. What's some advice around how we can be that?
I think kindness is about letting people take responsibility. So having 100% responsibility for themselves. So you're making this accountability culture, really, where people want to show up and do the best. So if they're not doing their best in the eyes of the leader, it's the leader's job to be kind and let them know that they're not quite hitting the mark, so that there's no surprises down the track. As you said, you know, you don't want to get point 3 months down and your probationary period's ending and you're like, actually, no, I don't think it's working out. And they're like, well, what do you mean? You've been nodding your head and smiling at me this whole time and saying I'm doing a good job. So it's being really clear, and it's back to boundaries as well. So setting the expectations and making sure everyone's nice and clear. Brené Brown's got that saying, the unclear is unkind, and it's so true. It's just make it nice and clear. Make sure what you're saying as you're communicating it, it's the person is hearing it the way that you're intending it to be heard, which is often a piece that, you know, it's misaligned. What's coming out someone's mouth is not the same as what someone's hearing, because it comes back to that niceness piece, I guess. When you are giving a piece of information that might be, you know, you're getting a bit of butterflies because, okay, here I go, I've got to give some feedback to this person, and they might get upset. So it's more about giving the feedback but allowing them to have any emotion that comes when they give the feedback as well. So allowing the workplace to have some emotion, be vulnerable as a leader. And it is difficult to give some pieces of news. It is difficult to relay some pieces of information and allow that human element. We're not robots, so it's not about just reading your script and getting through that piece of feedback. It's doing it with a kindness that it's clear and allowing some dialogue to make sure the person's really understood what's being said.
That's really, really powerful. I think a lot of people takes a lot from that. I know I will, because it's something that I've struggled with, and I've realized that you're so right. That's not being kind. It's actually holding people back. And eventually then, if you do need to let them go, they don't understand why, they've not learned anything, they're not grown, and they'll keep on making the same mistakes until someone actually steps in and says, look, this is where you need this. These are your gaps. This is the skills you need to work on. That's so, so powerful. So we're doing people a disservice by trying to be nice over being kind. I think that's just so, so powerful. So going back to like the whole sort of like how you're showing up and setting intentions and everything like that, I think as the world evolves and it is going at such a pace and there's so much noise and everything coming at us every single day, in your sort of wellness toolkit, what's been like the one thing that you, if someone was to say they really wanted to start working on the mindset, they really wanted to find more space, more joy, more happiness in their day to day, what would be the one sort of key thing that you would suggest somebody start doing on a regular basis to help them improve their mindset and show up as their best self?
Well, that's tricky to put my finger on one thing, because I actually do think it's a combination of so many things, but give it a go. And I think I'll probably go back to the self piece. Mm. And just to give yourself that time to have reflection. If you don't want to do it at the start of the day for intention, do it at the end of the day for reflection. And you can sort of remember the different conversations that you've had in the day. And okay, am I happy with who I was in that moment? And it's not an opportunity for you to then get down on yourself if you weren't the best that you could have been in that moment. It's like, okay, I can learn from that. And tomorrow I can show up as something slightly different when I'm having my next interaction with that person. So again, it's finishing off the day in a way where you're really, getting to know yourself a bit better. You know, it's sort of like imagining that you're meeting yourself for the first time. and going, do I like that person? Would I want to hang out with that person? And if not, what could I do differently? Who do I want to be? Who would I want to be around? What kind of person? So it's a little bit of reflection at the end of the day, making little tweaks, but also not going hard on yourself. We are human. We make mistakes. It's about that self-love and self-compassion and knowing that tomorrow is another day and this too shall pass.
It's so powerful, isn't it? Because honestly, you know, not every day is going to be good. Not every day is going to be a good day. And sometimes you have to sit in the fire and you have to just feel whatever you're feeling and acknowledge those feelings. Because I think the worst thing you can do is just push down those feelings and eventually they will boil up. And I think we're taught that anger is a bad emotion, but they're all emotions. They all have their place. It's just we don't want to be sitting with those sort of more lower vibrational emotions for long because it starts to drag us down. But you're allowed to feel whatever you're feeling. If someone's upset you, you're allowed to be upset, but don't marinate in it. I think that's the key piece, isn't it? It's like people are still replaying things that happened to them 10 years ago. Oh, and I'm like, come on, it's time to move on now. That's now holding you back. You are literally living in a past version of yourself. You need to let that go. You need to forgive and move on because you are holding yourself back from living a happy life by reliving that moment over and over and over again. And I see so many people doing it. I'm like, are you still holding on to that disagreement a week ago? God, like, let it go. What are you doing?
Exactly. It's like drinking the poison and hoping the other person's going to die. Exactly. It doesn't work like that. Let it go. Yeah, let it go. A nice way to you know, if you've had a particularly bad day and you want to just write it down to get it out of your head so you can sleep well that night, scribble it all down. What did you feel? What did they do? What did you do? Get it out, scrunch it up, maybe even light it on fire, chuck it in the fire pit and it's gone. Try and release it. Try and get it out of the mind and mindfulness. That's when that helps as well. Back to the breathing, back to the moment, back to the now. And you're not, like you said, marinating in past issues or worrying about the future or the next time you're going to see that person. It's just sit in the moment now. Mm-hmm. Sit in it. Breathe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Breathe.
And again, hard to do. Hard to do. Like, you know, because that person might have really hurt you.
Oh, for sure.
And you might, I don't want to forgive them, but you, like you said, it's like drinking the poison, hoping the other person's going to die. At some point, you need to let them go because they are ruling your life. And do you want to live your life like that? Because I know I don't. I want to be free of that person, wish them well on their way, but that person does not have a place in my life and they're not going to bring me down. But again, I think we hold on to too much and I think we pick that up and we pick that up and we pick that up and we don't put anything down and we're just constantly accumulating all of these little like micro traumas and moments and things that are happening day to day, week to week, month to month, and it impacts our mood, it impacts our personality, and then that becomes our personal reality. And that's why you get these people say, oh, it always happens to me. And you go, well, maybe, maybe you're sort of attracting it a little bit. Like maybe, you know, because you're constantly looking for it. It's so fascinating to me. But look, I do believe mindset is just such a powerful thing. And I wish that more people would invest into their mindset because honestly, investing into myself and my own growth and my mindset has completely changed my life. And your business founder, you're the founder, obviously, of Healthy Mindset. So talk to me a little bit about sort of that sort of piece now. You know, are you sort of doing one-on-one coaching? Like, and also I'd love to know, like, what does a healthy mindset really look like in your personal opinion? Because I think like if we can define this, that could be really interesting for people as well.
Yeah, I think a healthy mindset is really creating that calm clarity where you are willing to back yourself. You know that you may make mistakes, but you have the resilience. You can get back on the horse. You can keep on going because life is going to be full of ups and downs. So it's creating that mindset where it's not the end of the world if something, you know, didn't go exactly to plan. So it's about that bounce back factor, really. And what I do with healthy mindset, I do one-on-one coaching. So I have Wellness from Within, which is a 6-week program, and it really starts to look inside. It does a lot of on the self-acceptance, self-love, and learning to be healthily selfish and not feeling bad about that. And so there's quite a bit of a piece around that, and it's really looking for balance in all the domains of our life. A lot of times people really focus on the career and they let maybe their hobbies go or let their health go. So it's working through having a nice holistic approach to your life and all the domains. And something exciting that I'm working on now that I'm still putting some finishing touches on is Mindfully You. And that's what I'm hopefully going to roll out into the corporate world. So it's 8 sessions and it's a combination of education and meditation. So it's really learning maybe a bit of the theory behind mindfulness and then finishing each session with either breath work or an actual meditation. So I'm really excited about that. And if anyone's interested in wanting to know more, then please reach out. I'd love to connect on LinkedIn and I'd love to hear your mindfulness journey as well. I'm by no means an expert. I love this space so much and I love learning from people. So I'm very happy to connect if you would like to.
Yeah, we'll absolutely make sure we put all of your connection, your LinkedIn profile in the show notes below as well, Terry. But look, we've covered a lot of grounds today. I'm conscious of time. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you think I want to leave your listeners with this piece of advice or this story or anything that you think, I just want to leave people with this one little thing to take away from today's episode?
We have covered a lot, which has been fabulous. It's been a great chat. Thank you again. It's just a simple line of if it's going to be, it's up to me. It's back to that piece of taking control and taking ownership of your lives and not looking externally. So if you want that other job, if it's going to be, it's up to me. What do I need to do? Do I need to invest in some learning? Do I need to an education piece? Do I need to get in the room with these people? What do I need to do for that to happen? So to actually design your life a little bit more in terms of what is it that you're going for and then taking the ownership. If it's going to be, it's up to me.
I absolutely love that. I think as well, it all comes down to also who do I need to become in order to make that happen?
Absolutely.
Because I think what I've come to realize on my own journey, and Terry, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well, is that I'm a completely different person to when I started my business. I've gone on a massive journey. I've evolved as a person. I've had to work on so much, so many limiting beliefs, so many blockers I had. And I'm still working on them now. I am a work in progress, but I come up against myself every single day. Something will happen and I'll have to go, how am I going to respond to this? What would the best version of me do in this situation? How do I want to respond? And I think that's so empowering, but it all comes down to that whole mindfulness piece and being aware of your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, and what you're doing on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, because you will constantly come up against yourself all the time. And it's how you respond in those situations that define you and to the life that you want to live. What we've discussed today, Terry, is so powerful. And I think that people have almost, sometimes you'll be ready to hear this. I think sometimes you can hear things a few times and then it will suddenly something will drop and go, actually, I do need to make change now in my life because I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not joyful. And I think no one should go through their life feeling that way because life is short and it's precious. But I will make sure that I drive so many people to you, Terry. I love the work that you do and keep on being a beacon of positivity because the world needs it right now. It really does.
Love that. Thank you so much. It's been great to be on your podcast. A first for me, and I definitely was nervous and pushed through, and I've had a great time. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Terry. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.